biological cells have a tendency to die voluntarily when the body has lost its ability to be stimulated by the environment. This observation can be used as a metaphor for individual suicide reaching epidemic proportions when the degree of a civilization's urbanization reaches a point where life loses meaning and is simply not worth living. The tired man is a man already in the grip of death and insanity. A sane man is a man who is fully awake. As he grows tired, he loses his ability to rise above delusions, and life becomes, for him, steadily more chaotic the more tired he becomes. One can run away from a physical menace, but there is no running away from what is inside of us. Dissenters are liable to be declared insane by state psychiatrists merely for questioning the authority of the state officials. Likewise, entire populations can be demonized so as to justify the rationale behind a military invasion to acquire precious resources. Disgust with our economic system and the desire for its collapse could be diagnosed as a mental illness or even criminalized. Dissent is turned into disease, crime, sin. David Ehrenfeld, I don't know if he's still a professor at Rutgers, he suggests we make a continuous conscious effort to purge our thoughts and behavior of all traces of condensation towards the non-rational part of our being. Emotion is a vital part of life. Anger, love, fear, happiness is the essence of daily life, developed over the course of eons. I mean, why are society is so condescending towards emotions? I mean, it's just idiotic. I mean, people will feel reality with their emotions no matter how forcefully they use reason to impose their rationally derived forms and structures on real life processes. You know, sometimes rationality can be just wicked. Police states hire mathematicians to predict when riots will start in prisons instead of changing the conditions that lead to riots. Do we really need scientists to tell the warden with charts, graphs, and numbers that his prisoners are out of their minds with frustration, alienation, and depression? Society is going to pay dearly for its ruthless stupidity. The ironic twist is that the Gorts equate reason and rationality with intelligence, when in the reality of the existential lived experience, we witness daily the utter stupidity of pure reason. I mean, the computer is a manifestation of logic, and look how stupid the machine can be. It's only on-off switches. It's a series of ones and zeros, high voltage, low voltage. You program it to tell it to do something and it does it, even if you make a mistake. The negative is, if it says negative and you meant positive, well, the machine is going to bloop, 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 follow instructions, bloop, 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 follow instructions. I mean, wasn't Immanuel Kant's great contribution to philosophy a negative accomplishment after all? Kant recognized the limits of reason. It's about time we took his observations seriously. But the arrogance of humanism is rooted deeply in the conviction that reason is the component that makes humankind superior to all other life forms. The belief in the omnipotency of reason, and that we as a species can control and manipulate and organize reality. This is the core illusion. Control is the core illusion. Try controlling a hurricane. Try controlling a blizzard with reason. Getting back to the issue of self-deception. Notice how defenders of civilization invent words that mask their ignorance. Humanistic ears do not like the sounds of words that imply weakness, ignorance, or uncertainty. The words humanists will use indicate the degree of their self-deception. Humanistic assumptions keep us from accepting the unknowable and the undoable. The most ridiculous delusion of the machine age is that our species can escape the consequences of our arrogance by blasting off our mother planet and colonizing a planet in a neighboring solar system. What a stupid, immature, and even irresponsible idea. These ideas are of space colonies and other galaxies are technological disguises for infantile fantasies. Imagine how foolish this idea appears to Aboriginal elders of the Earth who know we cannot live a human life without living among plants and animals. And yet our life on Earth is becoming so dehumanized and depersonalized that our cities and towns are virtually space colonies. When the power grids go down, we'll witness masses of alien-like humanoids starving next to their automobiles. And then the little undertone of anger, that's called the life force. See, if I was feeling depressed, that means I'm heading towards death. Anger is a sign that I still have a will to live. Humanism, because its power fantasies gratify the ego, is difficult to abandon voluntarily. But an alienated individual, a psychological outsider, a misanthrope, has other ways. Alienation and misanthropy, when governed by honesty, enables a few to contemplate important things that most will not contemplate, and to say important things that most will not say. Our insane culture could not operate without unwarranted optimism. Those who are not committed to humanism do not feel defeated, even when we are pessimistic. We don't have to put on a cheerful false front. The creative attitude depends upon being free of other people, free, especially from neurotic involvements, from historical hangovers from childhood, but also free of obligations, free of duties, free of fears, free of hope. We become much more free of other people, which in turn means we become much more ourselves, our real selves, our authentic selves. This has nothing to do with the file. interesting note, originally, before the 1950s even, blacks called young white kids who acted more black than white hippies. If they made the word up, hippies. They think we're going to be living in the age of the gangster hippie. I guess beats too, beats. They mimic jazz musicians. You know, it wasn't just the Flower Children, the 60s. People were beating hip long before that. They just didn't have a name for it. Probably when the first indentured servants got brought over from Europe and ran away from the town to go live with the Native American Indians. You know, same thing. They liked the other cultures better. When they get the hell away from the you know, when the Aborigine of America first saw the European, he said, oh my God, they're all slaves. There's one guy's the boss, and all the soldiers, like, listen to the one boss. The natives, they said, each one was the lord of their own nation. The lord of their own nation, a nation of one. 12-year-old, they knew how to survive already. If they wanted to leave the tribe, no hard feelings, they left. And they had no trouble surviving by themselves. Our culture wants you to be dependent. You see these aristocrats with their 50-year-old kids, you know, people that own restaurants or liquor stores. They remain children their entire lives. Have to ask daddy's permission. Oh, can I marry this girl? What, does she have money? Yeah, rich people only like to marry rich people. You know, they want to keep all that money, you know, to themselves. Well, that's probably why they have so many bastards. You know, some people think, oh, if you're a poor man, you probably do better just to, you know, impregnate him. You have a wealthy woman as a mistress, and maybe she get pregnant and your kid will be better off. See, I don't think that way. I think my kid would be better off with an Eskimo woman, because they're the only ones going to be surviving this freaking crisis coming up. Some rich lady, she's not going to freaking survive. I mean, the money's not going to be worth shit. The pain of disadvantaged status interpreted and amplified by the brain may, can, and does yield extreme displeasure. It can animate the most dangerous behavior in the world. This is the last file. I'm going to squeeze this in there, even though it has nothing to do with the file it's attached to. At the 6:12 on Sunday night, the 11th of July, 2004. I guess I'd walked in the field from the Flame Hotel. It was like a 2.5 hour walk. No, wait. A half hour bike ride. Yeah, because the police stole my bike. It was a half hour bicycle ride. Well, I was attacked. I was confronted, attacked, maced, beat down, and arrested by Officer Michael Sweetman of the Frillboro Police. This is 2004, now in 2013. Now he's a freaking sergeant. Evidently, words were exchanged, and I cursed the officers, after which they attempted to arrest me using excessive force. I strongly resisted arrest, fighting the goons, going as far as grabbing the scrotum of one officer. I was charged with a resisting arrest and aggravated assault on a police officer. I was an absolute psychopath in the Borough Police Station, ranting and screaming. When I got to the county jail, I was fit to be tied, banging on a glass cage with the phone. They placed me in a cage with no clothes or blanket from Sunday night to Tuesday evening. I missed out on a two-day, $200 job with my father. I was unable to make a phone call for 6 days. So my father came to pick me up at the motel. I was nowhere to be found. Little did he know I was in a dungeon cell with no access to a phone. And it was kind of torturous with the camera watching me 24/7. Bail was posted at $5,000, no 10%, which meant $500 for Bail's bondsman. By Monday, my bail was reduced to $500 ROR, so I was released on my own recognizance. Promise to show up for court. Blah, blah, blah. Nati from 612 had assured me that she would testify along with a large group of Mexicans who were out on the side of the building. She never did. They never did because the police intimidated them. But she said the police never really came into 612 much after that. They didn't like her after that. They found out years later. Yeah, they intimidated her. Anyway, a dude that sweeps upon seeing me told me your girlfriend was crying. See, that was funny because she wasn't really my girlfriend. Just my, I was kind of obsessed with her. Anyway, he said, your girlfriend was crying. When I got in the store, I went directly to her and showed her the charges. She asked me how I got out of jail. I told her, I don't know. She said she saw Sam speaking with the police the other day. She thought maybe that had something to do with it. She was very happy to see me. Flora told me that I cursed the cop and that is why they confronted me. She said I fought the police and that I was very strong. That's funny. See, all that bad shit, it was actually a good memory for me. People might think that was a bad memory. No, that's actually a pretty good memory for me. Here's something you learn in a cage. The greatest blessing is to be able to enjoy one's own inner life. The psychic realm of thoughts, feelings, dreams, instincts, song, inner visions. During forced captivity, these advantages become even more apparent. Detaching from superficial worries and aligning the psyche with the physical limitations of captivity, a great calmness radiates from the core of the interior self. When a man strains to tell the truth, he cannot avoid speaking poetry. When you strain to tell the truth, you can't help but come out as poetry. Now, the time a defendant needs counsel most is immediately after arrest and until the trial. Arrested individuals are tricked by the police into resisting arrest, assault, and shouting incriminating outbursts. The door is wide open to the unscrupulous law enforcement official and others to become petty tyrants, shaking down timid souls by threats. In the United States of America, it does not matter if a man is guilty or innocent. The fact is that to be accused is to be damned. We have to develop the wits and the guts and the energy enough to rebel against this shadow government. We must resist anticipatory self-restraint, the self-censorship that is the most insidious of all. We must try to face and trace reality as it is. What is this goon lumbering around, introducing himself as my government? He is a government that has interests separate from mine. For my own good, he will sic spies on me, arrest me without a warrant, lock me in preventive custody, and charge me with aggravated assault upon a police officer should I defend myself while the goon squad is busting up my ribs. He is stupid. He is the big brother government, the keyhole peeping government, the gas buying, mace buying, tank buying, field artillery buying government. Now, I might be going off the deep end, but this system is an international super government ruled by multinational corporations with British America as its global police paramilitary force. Are we being governed and pillaged by an instrumentality we cannot confront? How should we deal with this conspiracy that has hired legislators and police and judges into its private service? This is the reason why noble minds shrink from leadership and why scoundrels rush in to fill the void. I shall reduce my needs to the requisites of the writer's trade, whatever peace, whatever solitude I can get at not too high a cost. And beyond these, paper, ink, tobacco, food, maybe once in a blue moon, a little weed. I would also get some beer every now and then. And, you know, maybe an occasional pint of vodka. Now, somehow, my relation with, I want to just call her N, has changed as a consequence of this episode with the Freeboro police. She cried the night I was taken away to jail. She cried tears for me. This is a sign that she cares for me. Every warrior hopes a good death will find him, but I cannot wait. I go looking for mine. Oh man, I can see what's coming. I guess there's going to be a few notebooks in the future when the police retaliated for that night. When they smashed my lung in, collapsed my lung. But that's coming. And I don't know, I was still at the Flame Hotel, so it can't be too far into the future. And how come when the police delivered me to the county jail that time, how come they said, we got Jesus? And then how ridiculous. A few pages after all that sentimental stuff, I was furious with Nazi for saying I owed her 24 cents because I was 24 cents short on something. And then I went into a tirade that lasts like 4 pages. What the hell is Samarambi? It means to excite oneself. Samdambi means to dance. Samarambi and Samdambi. In a trance, he makes the sounds of animals. He understands their language. He undergoes intense agony, psychological agony, deeply heartfelt. The fall of man came with city dwelling. Cities are just large groups of human beings living together for convenience, like rats in a sewer. Man ceases to be instinctive. Man has become more calculating in order to survive in cities. Man has become more aggressive towards other men and toward the world in general. The rat race began in 4000 BC. Man was not made for civilization. As a highly energetic creature, he finds it difficult to adjust himself to its restraints. He responds to lack of challenge with boredom and a tendency to become slack and demoralized. I really think some of us are hunter-gatherers trapped in a farmer's world. All these authority figures, from bus drivers to management is always authority, all these authority figures. Nowadays, with cell phones, everybody's a freaking authority figure. You just have to ask someone for 50 cents, they can dial 911. What did you ask me for? 50 cents? I'm calling the police. This is how it squeezes in. Drunken madman. I tried to buy a cup of coffee with $1.29, but my food stamp card came up short, so my senorita clerk began to whine. I shot her an evil eye, and she saw my skinhead rage. I climbed a tree and broke a branch. Will she let them put me back in a cage? Contradictions and misconceptions, too many details, hard to explain. Should we take part in the elections? Once flushed, can we climb out of the drain? When I get drunk, I'm a madman. Surely reefer is much safer drug. White rebel rocker ain't the Ku Klux Klan. Hey, that cop that maced me, he's a goon thug. A gun-toting slug with a moronic mug. He threatens to send me back to Germany, and all I can do is grin and shrug. Drunken madman like Jackson's Thriller. You don't want to see me 8 years sober. I'd become a terroristic killer. My ghost will forever haunt here in October. I know at any time I could take my own life, setting my spirit free from the goddamn strife. And even though your money stole my wife, I won't bring myself to stab you with my knife. With Samarambi, I excite myself, drum beating myself into a trance. Behold my notes left up on the shelf. I unleash the voodoo and the ghost dance. Did you take heed of Malcolm X? Did you doubt this boy could learn to hex? What do you get when you breed me with a mix? I guess we'll never read that unwritten text.